You're listening to Fake Believe, the podcast that gets some things right about conspiracies, cults, and cryptids.
Hi, welcome to Fake Believe. I'm Stacy, and I have this theory that if you cut all my hair off, I'll look like a British man.
And I'm Rachel, and I once saw a werewolf drinking a piña colada at a Trader Vic's, and his hair was perfect.
You liar.
That's a joke for the Gen Xers and the boomers out there.
Okay, because that went right over my head. Okay, so I'm really excited about this episode because I'm terrified. Like,
that's always good. Terrified in the fun way or...
In the fun way, like, mm-hmm. In researching this, I've always been, like, super scared, but in researching this, like, it got even more scary, and then, like, when I was writing it, I was like, oh my god, I'm like, I had chills mm-hmm. sometimes just even thinking about it. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for me to scare you?
Okay. I'll try not, I know that I get squeaky, so I'll try not to do that. I'll try to stay calm.
Well, I intentionally wrote things in here so that you would get squeaky.
Okay.
So that my writing would sound better. Because I have somebody live reacting to it.
So. Okay. All right. Okay. Ready. Scare me. But I get scared easy. Okay. No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Light a campfire.
No, my housemate said I wasn't allowed to do that anymore in my room. We have a no open flames rule.
Fine. I guess I'll just get started.
Okay.
There are tales of a creature that stalks the woods of North America, emaciated to the point that its skin is tightly pulled over its bones and a hunger that is never satisfied. This gaunt giant can mimic voices and sounds to lure its prey into a trap. If you're unfortunate enough to stare into its sunken eyes, you'll also notice that its lips have been chewed off.
Ew!
Even though it resembles a corpse, this thing is not human, or at least, it's not anymore. Let me tell you the legend of the Wendigo.
Ewy! So at first, when you were describing it, I was like, oh, it's Trixie Mattel. And until the lips chewed off part, and then I was like, that's not her.
Oh, no! Trixie, no!
Anyways, yes. Okay, the Wendigo.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. There's a lot of different ways to pronounce it. I'm going with Wendigo. I'll get into it a little bit. Just a lot. A lot of history. This is folklore, after all. So the way that I'm going to tell it, I'm going to try and do a bunch of different angles. But I'm really interested to hear if anybody else has their own version of a Wendigo or their own stories that they've heard of a Wendigo and what that entails.
So is a Wendigo different from a Winnebago?
Actually, yes, there are a couple of distinctions. I mean, let me just get started.
Okay.
The legend of the Wendigo stems from Native American and First Nation folklore. The word Wendigo can translate to both cannibal and owl, depending on the context. Often associated with winter, the Wendigo legend cautions people in a time of famine who may be thinking of putting their own survival above the group's. During times when food is scarce, some people would consider resorting to cannibalism to survive.
Mm-hmm. We already have a hierarchy in my household. Who gets eaten first, and yeah, we've discussed it. Continue.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, I think it goes without saying that eating each other is not a good practice, but it sounds like you don't really agree with that.
That's for a different podcast, I guess.
Okay. The Wendigo has a bunch of different origins, spellings, and pronunciations. As this is a cautionary tale, it is subject to various interpretations. Originally, the Wendigo was considered more of a spirit than an actual creature. We'll explore the topic of the spirit first. So people who are susceptible to greed can be possessed by the spirit of the Wendigo, meaning they might succumb to violent or even cannibalistic tendencies, even if food isn't scarce.
This would happen to them because they're greedy?
In some cases, yes.
Oh.
So the greed leads to them only thinking about themselves and then seeing everybody else as like, competition for food. And so then they become food. Like, if you're going to start eating all my resources, I'm going to eat you.
Eat the rich.
Okay. Yes, but in the bad way. So basically the legend is saying, don't be greedy. Don't put your own needs in front of the needs of the group, because everyone's helping each other. And so if you're only looking out for yourself, you're harming the group.
Mm-hmm.
So the spirit of the Wendigo might manifest as an event, like the notion of American colonialism.
What? Okay, explain.
I will.
Okay.
This is particularly on the nose because the colonizers invaded upon the land and became greedy, killing and stealing from the people that were already inhabiting the land and eventually spreading coast to coast. Mm-hmm. So the thought was that the spirit of the Wendigo is what brought everybody here and possessed them to be murderers and to kill everybody that was already here and push them out and say, nope, this is ours now. This is ours. You have to, you know, you have to go.
You can see it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So the flip side of this spirit being an actual creature called the Wendigo. So this.
This is the guy who ate off his own lips.
Yes. This is what I was describing in the opening. It's so really gross. It's
gross.
Like that part, I don't know. I feel like that was like the worst part, hearing about it eating its own lips off. So essentially, Wendigos are former humans who turned into a ravenous, hungry beast. It's always hungry, but never satisfied. And the heart of the Wendigo is made of ice. The body might even be made of ice as well.
Oh.
Yeah, ice cold heart. Oh, and then this is really creepy, too. Okay. One of the abilities of the Wendigo is the power to mimic human voices, and he uses that gift to lure humans into isolation and attack. Some legends even claim that the Wendigo has the power to control the wildlife, so if a human tried to escape it, they would be stopped by everything else in the woods.
Oh, this whole thing. Like the dark side of Snow White.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. I was like the anti-Snow White.
Uh-huh. Her shadow side.
Yeah. I hate it. I hate it so much. Like, even the thought of, like, hearing somebody's voice, and they're like, help me, come help me. And then you run alone into the woods, and then you get attacked.
Then you try to run away, and squirrels just pelt you with nuts. That happened to me once. I used to sit outside in undergrad. I had, like, this nice little bench outside of the coffee house, and this squirrel, apparently that was his area, and he would go and perch like on the tree limb above my head and just chuck nuts at me.
You'd watch him do this?
Yes, because then I would like, I'd see it like fall at me, and I'd look up, and then they do that little like chittering thing that they do.
They laughed at you?
Yes.
Add insult to injury.
I know. Do you think this was Wendigo activity or no?
Well,
I mean,
I just think it was a really mean squirrel, yeah. Honestly.
Point taken.
Yeah, because you were already alone, so. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think that the real takeaway here is that sometimes squirrels are assholes.
It's a sad but hard truth.
Yes. But I just, like, oh my God, like, even, like, when I was reading all that part and writing it down, I was just like, this is so scary to me. I guess that's why I picked it, because it was so scary. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, this would be so fun to talk about. But then I was researching it, and I was like, I regret everything. All right, so to torture myself even more, we're going to talk about some possible sightings. So here is a Chippewa legend that I read about online. Essentially, the story goes that a young boy was captured by a Wendigo, but he was too skinny for the greedy Wendigo. I can't relate. The beast dragged the boy around, cutting his hand to check if he was fat enough to eat, which I don't understand why.
On the hand?
Yeah. Eventually, the Wendigo told the boy to run in a nearby village, get some food, and return. So he's like, go fatten up. But like real fast, like go get some food, uh-huh. and get fatter, and then come back, and I'm gonna eat you. Boy,
okay.
Who obviously wasn't gonna let himself get eaten, ran into the village and told everyone that a Wendigo was nearby, and he showed the cuts on his hands. Like, look, this is what he was doing.
The Wendigo is like hiding behind a tree, looking. He's like, no, 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 what?
Literally. from the woods, the tribe heard a voice calling to the boy, "Hurry up, don't tell these people lies."
Okay.
It's like, that should cover it, right? Okay. No, that was convincing. I think I'm good. Yeah. Everybody talks like that.
From the woods.
Hey, it's your mother. Stop telling lies. Enough. Get back into the woods. What have I told you? Get some food. Come back into the woods. You liar.
I don't know why it's always the mom voice that I use. My mother does not sound not like at that, all so like I don't that. Know why I don't know why I picked that up.
The entire village followed the sound of the voice.
That, stop. The whole village followed the sound?
Yes. So here's kind of another thing about this story and why it was a success. Because the whole village banded together. And they all went out to do that. Okay. So since it wasn't just one person going out, and it was a collective, they were able to overpower him, and they cut off his legs. And then they retreated.
Oh.
Yeah. The Wendigo's legs, and then they retreated. So they're like, and then they left. Yeet! So later on, they returned to see if the creature had perished yet, but it hadn't.
It ate its own legs.
Uh-huh! No! Yes! Yes! They found the Wendigo sucking the marrow from its own legs.
Come on, Wendigo. That's a Wendigo.
Like, you freak!
That's a window. Go over there and think about what you've just done.
So, by the end of the story, the whole tribe ends up just chopping the entire Wendigo into pieces. Like, no, you're a freak. Calm down. Wendigo, no, you better don't. Chop, chop, motherfucker. So it was finally dead at that point. So that is a Chippewa legend that they talk about. So again, it's like, don't be alone. Don't be greedy.
Work together. Don't eat your own legs.
Yes. It's like another way of showing too, just like how like disgusting this creature is. Like it clearly shows a lot of disdain, and whatever it's meant to represent at the time, it's not a good thing. So, like, with the cannibalism and things like that, because it's associated with winter, and when crops aren't growing, food might be scarce, so it's like, you better plan ahead. Otherwise, you're gonna be just like this horrible creature. We hate this thing. You're gonna become what we all hate. And, you know, in one way or another. And then again, same thing like with colonialism. It's a monster. It's horrible. It's a mm-hmm. bad thing. It's greed. So I just like the story because, like, when they come, they're like, okay, it must have bled out by now. And they come back and it's like,
that tastes pretty good, guys.
You want some? You can't have it. I'm greedy. Now I don't want any of your bone marrow. Like, there's more to the story, too, where it said something like they ask if it's fatty. He's like, yeah, I've eaten a lot of people. Or something like that, and then they just kill it. Like, you know, again, because it's folklore, things get passed on, and it all just it sounds different. It's like a game of telephone, but way creepier.
Well, you can make telephone pretty creepy if you want.
Ooh, okay.
Have you ever had bone marrow?
I don't think so. I think I might have had an opportunity, and I declined.
It is so good, Stacey. Oh my gosh. We call it meat butter. Because it tastes like meat better. If you order it at like a butcher or something, and they break the bones for you, and then you can just dip your bread in it. Oh, it's so good. But now, now I'm imagining the Wendigo dipping bread into his own leg marrow.
Just like taking his leg and just dumping it out. Like, and it's so long because he's a giant. He's
yeah,
like,
wait. What do they look like? Oh, that's right. In the beginning of your description.
They're some people describe them as like ashy skeletons almost.
Okay.
Or like a corpse. Ugh. Like they're really, really creepy. They're skinny, they're tall, they're gross. And like, I'll get into some like visual examples in a little bit, and I might have to like send you some pictures and stuff so that you can see them. But like,
not tonight.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, okay. In the morning. Well, I guess. Okay. Well, you're going to wake up to some Wendigos.
Just not in my bedroom, I hope.
Rachel, Have you actually been thinking about eating your housemates?
I'm not a Wendigo, I promise.
Because you shouldn't be concerned unless...
I like that you assume that I wasn't the one that we had chosen to be eaten first.
I'm just saying the fact that you were even bringing it up. So now I'm going to talk about a phenomenon called Wendigo psychosis.
Oh.
Wendigo psychosis, while not a recognized mental disorder, describes when a person has either resulted in cannibalism or fears they may be on the verge of cannibalism.
So I'm not experiencing that.
Okay. All right. Okay. This is my I believe you face and my I believe you voice.
Okay.
There are two well-known cases of Wendigo psychosis or that involve Wendigo psychosis. The first is the story of a trapper named Swift Runner. In the winter of 1878, Swift Runner and his entire family were low on food and they were starving. His eldest son had died, and instead of getting the emergency food that was a mere 25 miles away, he murdered his wife and five other children.
What? Why did he even need that big of a meal?
And he's a Swift Runner.
Wait, I'm sorry, was this true? A true story?
This man did, he later on confessed and he was jailed for it.
Well, I should hope so.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, like, this is on record, like, this happened, like, it's horrible, but don't get me wrong, 25 miles is a long way to walk, because obviously it's 1878, they don't have, like, cars.
Yeah, but I feel like, all right, you eat one kid would get you enough to go, like, the 25 miles. The middle child.
I feel like if you start to realize that food is running low, you just go ahead and make that journey. You know, I know in total it's going to be 50 miles, but you can do it. Pack yourself a snack, a little bit of jerky or something, and some cheese.
A little Wendigo leg.
Some meat butter and go. You don't have to eat your family. And if you're resorted to just eating things that are dead, just go. Hunt something.
Oh, wait. They had already died?
No, only one had already died. But then he murdered the others.
Okay.
Six people he murdered.
That just seems overkill. Like, literally overkill.
Literal overkill. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to kill anybody.
Let alone for
my
sure.
family. Let alone my entire family just to eat. No, thank you. I'll pass on grass. In fact, I would just go out and eat some grass. I don't know. I feel like because I don't have Wendigo psychosis, it's a little harder for me to relate. But somebody like you, I mean, not that you do.
Right, no, because I was just like, I mean, one. I get one.
One, all fine. I hope you have a big enough freezer. Ugh, okay, not making any more jokes about that. I can't. I have to move on.
Okay. All right.
The second well-known case involves a chief and medicine man named Jack Fiddler, who was adept at hunting and killing Wendigos.
Oh.
Yeah. But in order to do this, he would murder people with Wendigo psychosis or anyone accused of Wendigo psychosis.
So he's like Dexter.
It's more like people were... Either they had come to him and said, I'm scared, I've had thoughts of eating people. Or somebody says, I'm pretty sure that guy over there wants to eat somebody. And then he's like, got it.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Do it. So it's like, oh yeah, you're real good at killing Wendigos before they become Wendigos.
preemptive Wendigo slaying.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like seeing eggs and being like, I have to kill this before it becomes a bear. Because... an egg can't turn into a bear. A human can't actually turn into a Wendigo. Like, what I'm trying to say is that they were just preying on people with that were weird. So...
Right, an excuse. It was an excuse to kill them.
Right. So the Canadian authorities caught wind of this in 1907. And even though, unfortunately, this was legal by his tribal community standards, he was actually convicted of homicide and thrown in jail. He died a few days later in jail, despite being pardoned. So,
what do you think from?
I don't know. It didn't say.
I mean, if Wendigos are all about kind of justice and all of that stuff, maybe that's it. Maybe it came in and ate him.
Hang on, pause.
What justice have I brought up here in my discussion on Wendigos? I thought I made it pretty clear that we don't like Wendigos. They're not like Batman of the forest.
No, justice wasn't the right word, but like repercussions for your greed and your...
Okay, like a punishment. Yeah. Like they're all about punishment.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it would necessarily qualify under a Wendigo's jurisdiction, because it wasn't necessarily greed. He was doing it for the tribe. It's not like he was like, I want to kill these people. It was like, okay, in order to save the rest of the group, I have to sacrifice this person. Like, I have to kill them.
Well,
otherwise, yeah. Because once you become a Wendigo, there's no turning back, and it's really hard to kill a Wendigo. Okay, and the last one I'm going to talk about are what I call the 2019 howls.
2019, as in 2 years
the
ago?
The year of our Lord.
Wow. The last year of our timeline?
Yeah, before it split, everything went bad. Maybe the Wendigos are what brought it on.
Yeah. All right, let's hear it. Tell me.
You did this double take into the camera, and it just... I wish that I was recording this like video. I'd make a GIF of it. I would use it for everything. All right, here we go. In more recent times, a more benign yet creepy example, the residents of Canada had begun reporting strange howls in the wilderness. People had claimed that it was not like any known animal they had heard in the region before. The howls were continuous and guttural. It was so creepy, and it was even caught on video.
There were also Bigfoot recordings.
That's what was mentioned in the article that I found. It was like, is this a Wendigo or Sasquatch? So...
Well, let's listen.
That's a child.
That scared me worse than the
I know, leader. Right? Responsibilities!
You gotta bat the baby away.
Bat the baby. Dodge the Wendigo. Wendigo after this baby.
Yeet!
Oh my god. But yeah, so that was the... it goes on for like 2 minutes or something, and it's freaking creepy.
Regardless of what... it ends up being, that's a scary motherfucker.
Yes. Like, it, and the way that it echoed and all of that, that mm-hmm. was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh my god. That was another thing that was making me be like, why did I pick this? Why am I listening to this? Why did I do this? And then I just played it again. So, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine. That, like, really got to me. And I thought how creepy it was to hear anything like that in the woods. And it makes sense and why these anxieties are portrayed this way. And why you hear anything in the woods, it's going to sound creepy. It's just going to. And you can't help it. Because you're isolated and you're alone. That's another fear from the Wendigo. Either you're an outcast or you just happen to have strayed away. Or, you know... you're just in the woods because you're weird and you didn't want to be in the woods by yourself. Never go in the woods by yourself. We are not the first podcast to say this. I know that. But I don't think enough people listen.
I know. I still go out in the woods myself.
Rachel.
I know.
Rachel. Call me next time.
It's okay. I'm a Wendigo.
Fly to Texas.
Oops.
Okay. Let's talk about iterations in media. So there's this Fake Belief podcast, and the host is a Wendigo.
That's Rachel.
Wendigo, fuck yourself.
I'm sorry that jazz hands don't show up on the audio medium.
Wait, do it again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like that.
Okay, there is a 2001 movie called Wendigo. Guess what it's about?
I'm going to guess it's about a dog who learns how to play basketball.
No, actually, no. That was a classic that was made like 4 years before. Don't drag Air Bud's name through the mud like this. This movie is what gives people the image of what the Wendigo with the antlers looks like. So if you look up, like if you Google Wendigo.
Won't.
Yeah, don't do it. I mean, because I'm going to be sending you stuff in the morning anyway, so it's fine. But there's a lot of iterations and like a lot of people like to draw this, but it has antlers. That didn't come from actual Native American or First Nation folklore. That was all just made up by the director. And the director of the film admitted to not doing research about the Wendigo until after the movie was produced.
What the fuck? God. White guy?
Oh, duh. Of course. But instead, he based the film off of a story he had heard as a child with a version of the Wendigo from the book Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which was actually based off of another book called Wendigo.
So it was again, just like, telephone. Again,
yeah. So that's why it's really hard to pinpoint exactly one person's interpretation of a Wendigo into like a general audience, because everybody has something different, which is why I was saying, if you want to comment or write to us at fakebeliefpodcast@gmail.com and tell us your Wendigo story, I'd love to hear it. Even though I'm terrified, I'll still read it.
And then you'll tell it to me because I don't need to hear it firsthand. It'll be like a telephone, only where the telephone wire is made of entrails.
Yeah. So, but that's why a lot of people think of it that way. And even in the movie, it had almost like a deer face. With the antlers and everything. Uh-huh. So, like, the face also looked kind of like a deer, but then, like, a tall body. But honestly, I think that the original interpretation of the Wendigo is way scarier.
Oh, yeah.
Than that one.
Because you could put, like, Christmas ornaments on a Wendigo with deer antlers and then just make it. Or, like, air fresheners. Like, there's a lot of things that you could do to be, like...
You dummy, you got bells on you now. Yeah. I can hear you coming. I'm not going into the woods. Sorry. The Wendigo and the Incredible Hulk have duked it out before in 1973.
Mm-hmm. Who won?
The Hulk.
He always wins.
Yeah, it's his comic. He's also appeared in a couple of other comics, but the Hulk is the most famous one. Where it's like, what?
Because he didn't fall for that. This is your mother. Crap.
It's your mother. Hulk. Hulk. I know you're angry, but it's your mother. You're angry because you haven't eaten in a while. I made you supper. Come here. Hulk. Hulky. Hulk. Hulk.
Hulk.
Hulk.
I'm not falling for it, Mom. Oh, wait. That's right. He was only like single word things. Cutting that out.
not in this iteration, because we have to be careful what we say about comic books, because just like folklore, they go through a kajillion iterations too. So you could say, oh no, Hulk doesn't say full sentences, but then somebody come in and go, actually, there's Bruce Banner Hulk, he's a mixture of the two, and he didn't.
I'm just going to start making shit up. Like, well, actually, in the dog clicker version of the blue pen episode.
Of things within my vision, they say.
That was my version of The Usual Suspects, and I think it worked out just as well.
Okay. Good to know. So we've also seen the Wendigo in the 1999 movie Ravenous. It's all about the legend. I haven't seen it.
I feel like I did see that one, actually.
Ooh, it sounds so scary. It's also shown up in Supernatural, Charmed, Hannibal, Grimm, and Teen Wolf.
I was thinking about Teen Wolf just today. I don't remember a Wendigo in it. I'll have to look again. Do you have anything? Is it in video games?
How funny that you say that. Because that was the next thing I was about to say.
Oh, okay. Because I feel like I've run across one in a video game.
Oh, you definitely have, I'm sure. Have you heard of the game Until Dawn?
Stacy, that game is so fucking scary. Like, honestly.
Don't cry, Rachel.
I'm sweating a little bit. Yes, I've heard of that game.
Yeah, that's actually how I found out about the Wendigo, was through this game. I had never actually played it. I had watched some, like, walkthroughs of it. Even that was enough for me to just be like, oh my God, this is terrifying. This is so scary. And like, I couldn't stop watching it. Like, I had this addiction to the fear. I was like, it was like an adrenaline rush watching it. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And part of me almost wants to play, but like, I feel like I'd have to make Zach sit with me and do it. The way that they move, it's so creepy. That's like one of the creepiest versions of a Wendigo I've ever seen in my life. Okay, so for those of you that don't know what Until Dawn is, I mean, obviously we're pretty traumatized by it, but this tells a story of how two young girls got lost in the woods and were presumed dead. Later, their friends return to the location where the two girls had died and soon discover that only one was truly dead. The other had resorted to eating her sister, who had died on impact from a fall while she was trapped. She was then possessed by the spirit of the Wendigo and terrorized the group of young teens.
So terrible.
There's a lot of other creepy things in the game. I mean, it's a nightmare of a game, for, like, in the sense that, like, it's really scary.
I'm so sweaty talking about it.
Oh, my God. I think about this game way too often. I've never actually played it. I've only watched walkthroughs, but that's scary enough just for that. So if anybody's wanting to play it or watch any walkthroughs of it, just be warned. It's really creepy. Some people are probably going to be like, what are you talking about? It's not that scary. But if you're scared of Wendigos, like I am now, I didn't even know if this was something I had to be afraid of, but now I am. It's an experience, but it really it portrays the Wendigo pretty close to how it's been described in the past. From its origins, because it doesn't have the antlers, it's long gone, ashy, skeleton looking. It's, you know, creepy. But yeah, so just if you want to scare yourself, Wendigo, check it out. So this terrifying cautionary tale shows the real fears and anxieties that have taken place within the Native American and First Nation culture. When European settlers heard of the story of the Wendigo, they soon began to make parallels to a legendary creature that they had known as the werewolf.
So I'm going to take us back 4,000 years to the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Ooh, okay.
It tells the tale of a legendary king. A small plot point is when Gilgamesh decides not to hook up with the lady once he finds out that she had turned her ex into a wolf. This is, as far as we can tell, the first reference to a werewolf in Western lore, and I'm sure it was based on a true story, so that means that werewolves have been around for over 4,000 years.
I mean, obviously. You're not allowed to lie in legends.
No, they have to be based on the true story. That's the rule. That's what legend means, from legere, true, and story.
Yeah.
I'm an etymology expert.
I trust your credentials.
Thank you.
As much as I trust that you're not a Wendigo.
Good. Good. So, how did the werewolf get from 2100 BC Mesopotamia to 1977 London? And most importantly, who is his tailor? So, I'm going to start with a history. It's tough to give precise dates of classical antiquity, as you know, but Greek mythology also makes some mention of a werewolf round about 2,000 years after Gilgamesh. The prime example of this is the tale of Lycaon of Arcadia, which Ovid wrote about in Metamorphoses. Time period doesn't matter. I was going to say the time. It doesn't matter.
It matters to someone.
It does. They can. They. But that the person to whom it matters knows when Ovid wrote Metamorphoses. So
fair.
The rest of us, it doesn't matter. What had happened was Zeus dropped down for a visit, and all the townsfolk in the city, or in the town, were fangirling Zeus. But Lycaon was like, y'all sound like idiots. That's not a god. And to prove it, I'm going to kill him. And then for some reason, part of Lycaon's plan was to feed Zeus human flesh. That was part of the plan to kill him.
Yeah, was that supposed to kill him?
I don't, or weaken him or something? Lycaon, and this is a quote, cut the throat of a Molossian hostage sent to him and partly softened his still quivering limbs in boiling water, partly roasted them on fires that burned beneath.
Not a fan. I can tell you that much. Oh my gosh. Mingus.
Yes, she just, I don't know what she
said. I just saw in the background a cat just like...
Well, you know who else wasn't a fan?
Who?
Zeus.
Oh, no. And when he gets angry, lightning bolt.
Yeah, or thunderbolts. And I'm like, guys, what the fuck is a thunderbolt? I don't know. So apparently Lycaon didn't cook the hostage well enough because Zeus was like, this isn't veal. This is human. You are gross. Bam. There goes your house. Destroyed. Bam. Oh, yeah. And you're a wolf now.
Oh.
Yeah. So then Lycaon freaked out, of course, because he's a wolf now. And he tried to complain about it, but then all he could do was howl. And so then he just, yeah, that was what it sounded like when he said, excuse me, can we talk this over?
Okay, I have to say this at least once. I'm probably going to say it several times. But in one of my favorite Disney movies of all time, The Emperor's New Groove, there's this line where this guy goes, hey, I've been turned into a cow. Can I go home? You're excused. That's my favorite thing. So I'm probably going to be like, can I go home? Hey, I've been turned into a wolf. Can I go home? But he can't go home. His house was destroyed.
Way to bring it down.
Okay, but you're the one that brought it up in the first place.
Touche.
All right, we'll call this one a draw and let's move on. Okay.
So Lycaon freaked out, could only howl, and then he ran away and then ate up all of his own sheep. Not smart.
Well, I guess he can't really farm.
Because he doesn't have thumbs.
Thumbs.
Don't have a thumb. What do you got?
Apologies to all of our thumbless listeners.
Yeah. Sorry,
we
Scott.
Still love you.
By 60 AD, the werewolf was a phenomenon outside of mythology. Petronius, an influencer from ancient Marseille in 60 AD, wanted to see what happens when werewolves stop being mythological and start getting real. In the Satyricon, Petronius' main character shares the following. I seized my opportunity and persuaded a guest in our house to come with me as far as the fifth milestone. He was a soldier and as brave as hell. So we trotted off about cockcrow. The moon shone like high noon. We got among the tombstones. My man went aside to look at the epitaphs. I sat down with my heart full of song and began to count the graves. Then, when I looked round at my friend, he stripped himself and put all his clothes by the roadside. My heart was in my mouth, but I stood like a dead man. He made a ring of water around his clothes.
Let me see what pee-pee.
And suddenly, turned into a wolf. Please do not think I am joking. I would not lie about this for any fortune in the world. But as I was saying, after he had turned into a wolf, he began to howl and ran off into the woods. At first, I hardly knew where I was. Then I went up to take his clothes, but they had all turned into stone. No one could be nearer dead with terror than I was. But I drew my sword and went slaying shadows all the way till I came to my love's house. I went in like a corpse and nearly gave up the ghost. The sweat ran down my legs. My eyes were dull. I could hardly be revived. My dear Melissa was surprised at my being out so late and said, if you had come earlier, you might at least have helped us. A wolf got into the house and worried all our sheep and let their blood like a butcher. But he did not make fools of us, even though he got off, for our slaves made a hole in his neck with a spear. When I heard this, I could not keep my eyes shut any longer, but as break of day, I rushed back to my master Gaius's house, like a defrauded publican. And when I came to the place where the clothes were turned into stone, I found nothing but a pool of blood. But when I reached home, my soldier was lying in bed like an ox, with a doctor looking after his neck. I realized that he was a werewolf. Other people may think what they like about this, but may all your guardian angels punish me if I am lying.
I love how it's like, oh, you have to believe me, guys. This is true. If I say it first, like, if I say, like, again, yeah, no, I know it sounds crazy. I know it does. But, like, it really happened. They swear to God, guys. This guy, yeah. That was his neck, because he was a wolf last night.
Yeah.
He peed everywhere. It was really weird. Such a nice touch. Like,
that I like
how it
weird.
Explains the werewolf thing, how it's, like, whenever they just, like, rip their clothes off and become a werewolf. But this one's like, no. They take it off, take a piss, and then turn to stone.
Yeah, it's like the three steps to success. Take off your clothes.
Okay.
Take a piss.
If I were to go out on a full moon and just strip naked and pee, would I become a werewolf?
I'll get into ways that you can become a werewolf later.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
It's a good time to tell this story. So, as I've mentioned, I freaking love Halloween. I'm not very typical in the way that I approach Halloween costumes. When I was a little girl, everyone wanted to be like princesses or fairies or things like that were like very cutesy and everything. And so, mm-hmm. like, their mothers would take pictures and be like, oh my god, look at my cute little girl. She's adorable. And da-da-da. I told my mom, Mom, I want to be a werewolf princess. She goes, okay.
Didn't this become a werewolf researcher? Oh, no, then that's what you wanted to be when you grew up.
I wanted to be a wolf archaeologist.
A wolf archaeologist, that's what it was.
I didn't know what that meant, but my friend said she wanted to be a wolf archaeologist, and I said I wanted to be a wolf archaeologist as well. And I bought a book that had something to do with wolves, but it was way above my reading level, and I never finished it. But no, at Halloween, I wanted to be a werewolf princess. I literally glued fur onto my chest. And, like, I just had, like, this fur everywhere. I had, like, fangs in my teeth and stuff like that. And I was wearing a princess dress.
Perfect.
So, like, badass little Stacy was like walking around, like, kick her cheek, because I had stuff in my teeth. And they were like, oh, what are you? I'm a werewolf princess. Duh.
Scary.
And I remember going back that night and trying to get the fur off of my chest, and I had to, like, mm-hmm. sit in the bathtub, and I'm like, I'm trying to, like, get all the water on the fur, and it was just so gross, and I was peeling off, and I was like, ah! Felt like I was turning into a werewolf at that point. I mean, I just wanted to let you know that, I would like to be both a princess and a werewolf, and so maybe if I could get half of that, then I can, you know, move on.
Right, then the other one will just follow.
Right, because I'm like, if all I have to do is strip nude and take a piss,
yeah.
then, I mean, becoming a princess has got to be really easy, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to learn.
Okay, I've got you covered.
So continue.
So the Satyricon, that was around 60 AD. So by 350-ish, Christians hopped onto the werewolf bandwagon, convinced that witches were turning men into wolves.
I also want to be a witch. Can I be a werewolf witch princess?
Yes. So by 350-ish AD, Christians hopped on the werewolf bandwagon, convinced that witches were turning men into wolves. So then they created the church's doctrinal text on magic, witches, and transformations, concluding that only infidels would do any of that stuff. It's bad. By the Middle Ages, so this is, Middle Ages are like a big time. They're like 500 to 1500. Medieval Europe was in widespread belief. Werewolves were no longer lore. They were lived experience. The number of werewolf run-ins grew at a similar pace to the number of witch run-ins. It was around this time the werewolf conception split. The Germanic werewolf, so think Bavaria, France, Baltics, was associated with witchcraft and the witch panic. While the Slavic werewolf, Hungary, Romania, the Balkans, was tied to the revenant vampire side of werewolves, kind of zombie-ish too. Like, that's kind of like that you get bit and then you, like, turn into a werewolf or you die and become a werewolf kind of thing. Whereas the witchy one was like, oh, you're a wolf.
That sounds like a horse.
Yeah, you're a horse wolf. Horse you're wolf a princess. Listen,
this is a message to all little girls out there. You could be anything you want to be.
Anything you want. You can be a horse witch princess.
Werewolf.
Werewolf. Equa-wolf. Equa-wolf.
Okay, actually, no, that sounds cooler. We get that. We get Equa-wolf.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Equa-wolf.
So medieval Europe was the heyday time and place for werewolves, and their ubiquity bled into the early modern era at varying levels. In the 16th century, reports and even trials of werewolf attacks were common, as was tacking on werewolf accusations to all the witchcraft accusations during all those witch trials.
Mm-hmm.
This interest died down in France around 1650 for various and disputed reasons, and in Germany, also known at that time as Bavaria, the widespread belief lasted well into the 18th century. Perhaps that's because they couldn't forget the trauma of Peter Stump, the werewolf of Bedburg. Peter Stump was born in Bedburg in 1535-ish. We're not sure exactly when. He made a pretty good name for himself as a farmer, even though at some point he accidentally cut off his left hand. And this could be, honest to God, why his last name is Stump.
Don't worry. He's all right now. He did make a name for himself. Stump.
So yes, like I was saying, that could actually be why his last name is Stump. Because that's how they gave, how you got your last name. It was basically like for what you did or what you looked like or, you know.
Oh, gosh. We are not in a good position then. That's how you get your last name. Okay. The two of us have some fun last names.
So Stuck, right, that would be horrible. But I actually do know what it means in German, like back then. And it actually means a piece, like a parcel of land. So my name is probably from, like, land ownership. I have no idea what Wigman is.
I don't know. But maybe that's why I love drag queens so much.
Yeah, maybe it's in your blood.
Yes. I'm like, I respect a Wigman. I'm sorry. No, I really do love drag queens.
Seriously, no. So what we know of Peter Stump is that by 1589... he was a widower and the father of two children, a teenage daughter and a son of an unknown age. And also, he was a werewolf who had murdered at least 16 people.
Okay.
People and livestock had started turning up dead. And reports of a huge wolf-like creature prowling the otherwise idyllic countryside were skyrocketing. So the neighborhood watch program tried to catch this creature, but instead they would stumble upon remnants of a kill. And sadly, the vast majority of the victims were children.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. This went on for years until in 1589, the group managed to surround the bloodthirsty wolf who was terrorizing their town. And the wolf disappeared. Instead of the gigantic wolf, there stood their farmer neighbor, Peter Stump. Somewhere along the lines, one of the neighborhood watch folks remembered having cut off the wolf's left paw, and Stump was also missing his left paw. Proof. Proof.
I'm convinced. I was going to say, I was like, well, did the werewolf, was I missing a paw? Like, what was going on with that? But you've just cleared that up, and I have no further questions. That makes perfect sense to me.
Good.
And I also like how it kind of mirrors the Wendigo legend, where the entire town got together. You know, they can't defeat the Wendigo on their own, but the entire town got together, and then they were able to. Teamwork makes the dream work, and it kills creatures.
Yeah. So that's, and, you know, that's, I think that's a good way to look at this story, and just maybe keep that and don't let any other facts that you may learn take you away from that. Just keep the okay. Happy version.
I'm really good at cherry picking information.
Awesome. So Stump eventually told them that he was indeed responsible for the deaths of 13 children, 2 women, and 1 man. 2 pregnant women, and that's kind of important because he he ripped out their the fetuses.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
He also confessed to murdering a bunch of their farm animals and not his own farm animals because that would be bad business sense. And he probably learned something from Satyricon. Or not Satyricon, like Lycaon.
Okay, yeah.
I'm getting my werewolves mixed up. So apparently he also told them this because they threatened to torture him if he didn't confess. But he probably wasn't just walking along in the field when they thought they saw a werewolf. He was probably definitely a werewolf.
Probably definitely.
In fact, he confessed to definitely being a werewolf. Of course, it was after he was stretched on a rack, the torture rack, and also before other torture happened, so kind of like in this torture hiatus.
Okay, I'm ignoring this part.
Yeah, good. Yes, he admitted that he had made an agreement with the devil when he was 12 years old and had gotten a magical belt. When he put the belt on, poof, wolf. And then when he took it off, he was back to being farmer, human. He also admitted to trolling the town for kids to eat, wolfing out, eating the kids, and then talking to the families of his victims when he shifted back into a human. He even admitted to killing and eating his own son.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing the belt? Why do you have to wear the belt, man? Just don't. If the devil gives you a belt, unless it's Prada, you put that shit away. You just leave it. And then you're like, hey, guys, you want to see my cool devil belt? And everyone would be like, yeah, it was so cool. Wow, it's a devil belt. You keep it away, though. No one can wear the belt. Just, oh, my God. Put your devil belts away.
So this all resulted in a horrific execution. And it does, you can read about this in detail. I'll just tell you that it included a wheel torture device, burning pincers, an axe, and a guillotine.
Why are there so many things?
They took their time.
You said "and" too many times.
I did. And because no crime against humanity is complete without some blatant misogyny, both his daughter and his girlfriend were burned at the stake.
What? What? Okay, he specifically said it was not a witch, it was the devil.
No, it doesn't. So, yeah.
Where do I file a complaint for this? I am mad about this.
It's tough to tell what actually happened in events from nearly 500 years ago, especially in areas that are generally less well-documented than larger metropolises. In fact, this story was documented, but the only extant script of it, there's two translations of the original, like, German telling, which got destroyed because shit happened, which it does, as you will notice throughout history.
I think I've picked up on that, yeah.
Trademark shit happens. That's us. We coined that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Once again, we're pioneers. Shit happens and don't go in the woods by yourself.
Hide your devil belt.
Okay, but that that's ours. That's, I want everybody to wear our aprons and our devil belts. You can wear that devil belt. It's the only devil belt. The actual devil hands you a belt. You say, thank you. And then you hang it up and you don't wear it. And then the next time you see the devil, the devil's like, why aren't you wearing that belt I got you? You'd be like, I don't wear it every day, devil. It's... Okay. Could it be quiet?
No. Okay. So, as I was saying, it's tough to know really exactly what happened. But obviously, the truth is that Stump traded his soul to the devil for a magic belt that would turn him into a werewolf. But some people speculate other things, like maybe he was a serial killer who played the werewolf card for dramatic effect. Or maybe he was a serial killer afflicted with clinical lycanthropy, which is a psychological disorder wherein the patient believes himself to be transformed into a wolf. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
So like Wendigo psychosis.
Yes. Still others suggest that he was actually innocent and in the wrong place at the wrong time and in the wrong religion because he was a Protestant in a largely Catholic area, and this was at the time of the Cologne Wars, which were Protestant-Catholic clashes. And after he died, the Catholic Church took ownership of his estate. So, regardless, the trial and its aftermath left a deep scar in German society, and the fascination and fear of werewolves remained for another 150 years. So, even though it took a while, the werewolf preoccupation did peter out, perhaps because of the Enlightenment or the Scientific Revolution or the advent of the Freemasons. Maybe they were just covering some shit up, but by the mid-18th century, people in Europe and in America were no longer very concerned with werewolves and witches.
Until now.
We're going to fast forward to 1942. Universal Studios had made a name for itself as the House of Monsters. And so they wanted to add a werewolf to their monster mash, but there weren't really any full-blown werewolf novels. So they wrote their own story. The Wolfman, starring Lon Chaney Jr. This movie has a 90% still on Rotten Tomatoes, which is twice as high as the rating of Air Bud.
You see, this is how I know that there's something wrong with the world. Again, this is just a podcast of things that I hate, because really, Air Bud should have a higher rating
than 45.
The movie was a classic. I mean, we should be rocking at least an 82, if not more.
Universal's take on werewolves ended up being a major influence on how they're rendered in storytelling today. A lot of the classic werewolfisms come from this film and not from all the lore beforehand, such as turning into a werewolf if one bites you. Now, I know I had said earlier, like, the other werewolf dude, like the revenant werewolf, but that wasn't necessarily from being bitten by a werewolf. The transformation being linked to a full moon, that wasn't a thing until 1942. And werewolves being immune to all weapons but silver came from this movie. The silver thing does have precedence. In general, silver is considered the best way to kill any shapeshifter, so remember that. And a young boy did remember this in 1640 in the town of Greifswald, Germany, when he helped quell a werewolf infestation by gathering up all the town's silver in the form of like belt buckles and shoe buckles and stuff and melted it down and forming it into bullets for their muskets. And then that helped everyone get rid of all the werewolves that were infesting their town.
Well, that's handy. They used their devil belts.
They melted it down. The devil belt.
But the full moon thing, though, but the one guy was talking about how the moon was out when the guy stripped and peed and turned into a werewolf.
That's true. Yeah, the moon shone like high noon. But the dude was, he was still human at that point. And then turned in, you know. And with the silver thing, it's like, basically, beforehand, these weren't the hard and fast rules of werewolves. But the Wolfman took these stories and was like, okay, so this is what makes a werewolf. So the Wolfman was actually Universal's second werewolf film, the first being Werewolf of London, released 6 years prior. For various reasons, it was not as impactful on the culture, although it did inspire Warren Zevon to write the objectively most delightful song of all time, Werewolves of London. So, this all begs the question. Werewolves, where are they now? These days, werewolves are mostly relegated to the screen, the page, and our imaginations, with only a handful of sightings reported each year. Plus, it's impossible to determine if what you're seeing is a werewolf or a dog man. So in May of 2018, there was a pretty big fuss over a werewolf being shot by a rancher in Montana. However, DNA testing revealed that it was actually just a gray wolf that was a little bit funny looking.
Aww.
I know, poor the wolf buddy. So there are dozens of other sightings that go unreported by the media every year. And I found an excellent resource from North American Dogman Project.com, or NADP. that places sightings on a map. And you can click on each pin to read the report associated with that location. So there were two sightings logged near me and two in St. Louis near you. And so I clicked on them and read them all. And so I'm going to read one from St. Louis.
Okay. I'm so excited.
So this happened November of 2015. And I can't give credit to the person who wrote it because they don't have their name, but it is from the NADP website.
Oh my God. 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
There was, okay, tell me everything.
I was rolling the trash cans out for pickup the next day. It was late, so I grabbed a flashlight. I was dragging the can while walking backwards. As I passed the fence, it blocked my view of my neighbor's garage. That's when my light hit this wolf creature. I froze instantly. The creature was about 20 feet away, and I could clearly see that it was crouching. When our eyes met, it turned to its right and fell to all fours and leapt over my neighbor's 12-foot driveway in one jump. The creature was about 8 feet tall and maybe 300 pounds. It looked kind of thin around the waist, but it was very muscular. When the light hit its eyes, they were a vibrant yellow color. His fur was short and charcoal colored. I could hear the clicking of his claws when he dropped down on all fours. I dropped the trash can and panic set in. I ran inside, grabbed my gun, and locked myself in my room. I've never felt fear like that before.
I love that they grabbed their gun. Like, yep, that's Missouri. Yep. Oh my God.
So what even are they? Werewolves.
Who knows? Who knows anymore?
Well, broadly speaking, a werewolf is a man that has transformed into a wolf. And I hope you kind of understood that already before starting this, because I didn't say it in the beginning.
Yeah.
But the how is what is kind of up for debate. Is it sorcery? Is it a spiritual thing? Or is it biological?
Okay.
So general characteristics of werewolves and dogmen are also up for debate. So, for example, no one's sure whether or not the transformation from man to wolf is permanent or temporary. These days, we tend to think of it as a temporary thing, or at least like maybe permanent in that it lasts, but temporary that you shift back and forth.
Yeah. So it's not like a constant state of a wolf.
Yes. European folklore tells us that we can tell a werewolf in his human form by his unibrow, curved fingernails, low-set ears, and a swinging stride.
You like to strut, but you don't like to take care of yourself.
So also, apparently, you can test if there's someone that you suspect whose stride is a little too swinging. Here's how you can test.
Okay.
Well, here's how you do it. You cut him.
Oh, no.
And then you look at the wound, and if there's fur under his skin, got yourself a werewolf.
How awkward would that be, though? It's like, dude, what'd you do? Why did you just cut me?
Uh-oh. Yeah, would it be more awkward if there were fur under it or if there weren't fur under it?
I feel like if there was fur, because then you'd be like, I gotta kill you now. Like, I can't think this part through, and now I've just injured a werewolf, and it's, like, mad at me. Shit, I'm on its shit list. And then it's like, if not, you'd be like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Who let me have this knife? Let me just put that down.
But, I mean, obviously, so let us plan this out for when we have to cut somebody.
Okay.
I think that if there is fur in it, we just, like, don't react and just be like, pretend like you didn't see it, and just be like, oh, sorry about that, man.
Man. Yeah, make sure you say man. So they don't think that you suspect them of being a wolf.
Exactly.
Human.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that, wolf. Man.
Stupid.
So, la la la, check the wounds. Yes. Russian folklore also helpfully points out that in human form, a werewolf will still have bristles under his tongue.
Ew.
Can you imagine making out with somebody and then realizing that they're a werewolf because you felt bristles under his tongue or her tongue?
Mm-mm.
You're like, or their tongue.
Oh, hey man, human. I like kissing you, human, fellow human.
In wolf form, They can either walk upright or on all fours or do both. Most of the time, they tend to look like a regular old wolf, which actually is less the case in modern, like, renderings of them. I see mostly now, like Teen Wolf. Oh, what about that one from Twilight? What happens to him? He turns into an actual wolf, right?
Like a really big one.
Like a dire wolf.
Yeah, a huge one. They're usually, like, brown-ish. Like, the fur is brown.
Okay. Although, usually, they don't have a tail, like Curious George. And almost everyone agrees that a werewolf loves himself a recently buried corpse.
I mean, who doesn't?
So now there are some harebrained scientific explanations for the thousands of years of werewolf sightings. So I figured I might as well, even though these are totally unbelievable. Oh, so there is a liver disorder called porphyria that causes symptoms such as sensitivity to light, reddish teeth, and even psychosis. It can get so bad that a person's skin might blister from sunlight alone. And that could easily be misread by a medieval populace as someone transforming into a different creature, like a gosh darn infidel would.
I'm still bothered by the red teeth. I'm sorry. I don't know why that is sticking out to me.
Red-ish.
Okay. Doesn't help much, but thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a nice pink.
Yeah.
It's really cute. Paint your walls.
Werewolf tooth.
So for my wedding colors, we're going to do some werewolf tooth red and some devil's belt brown and
wendigo gray.
Beyond that, there's also hypertrichosis.
It sounds like hyperhidrosis, which is when we sweat a lot, but it's not that.
Yeah, or it might actually be trichosis. I think it is trichosis, hypertrichosis. Okay. So do you know that? Like T-R-I-C-H. That means hair.
Okay. Oh, no.
Hypertrichosis is excessive hair growth. And so that could just mean like a lot of extra body hair. But it also means like hair in weird places, like on your palms. Or maybe like, I can't think of any other weird places. I guess maybe your what if under your tongue? What if the bristles? What if it was hypertrichosis?
I'd buy it.
So its causes are unknown. We're not sure why this happens, but it is associated, aside from the werewolfism, it can be associated with a variety of other inflictions, including porphyria, that one we talked about last time. So imagine if somebody had porphyria and then one of the side effects was hypertrichosis.
Aww.
That poor person. There's also good old rabies, which causes foaming of the mouth and erratic behavior.
Yeah, we love rabies here.
No, we do not love rabies.
Oh, wait, that's right. Rabies is bad. I will go on record saying rabies.
Are you sure that's bad. A brave stance to take? Hot take, rabies is bad.
Stand back, I'm breaking ground.
Those are all preposterous, though. So here are some ways to become a real werewolf, okay?
I'm taking notes.
Okay.
Let me write this down.
So, rituals. Now, I have just the general here, but if you want to dig in deeper, do that on your own. But I do. To have time to, you know, get through all of them. So just kind of maybe jot down the ones that interest you, and then you can get the details later. So, one.
Okay, here. Let me write it. I got my pen.
Okay. Still have your thumb. That's great.
Yes.
So, one, taking off your clothes and putting on a wolf skin belt.
A devil belt.
Two, rubbing yourself with werewolf ointment.
Okay. Okay, I have some questions.
I'm not taking
number
questions.
Number one is going to be where. Number two is going to be what. I know I should probably start with what. I'm starting with where.
Everywhere. So covering yourself.
No. Where do I find it? Where do I find this?
With this, you've got to go to witches for it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll ask my witches.
Okay. You can also, you can drink rainwater from a wolf footprint. Do you live near a wolf? You do. You live near werewolves. This is perfect. At least a werewolf.
I'm going to get my reusable straw. I have a hollowed out. Wendigo bone. Can use as my reusable straw. I don't get to use it as a straw that often, but this sounds like a perfect time.
It would be perfect. So you can also, now I know you're going to have questions. I don't have the answers to this. I just wrote it down. Drinking beer.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Oh.
Okay.
That I can do.
You can do.
Okay.
You can also sleep with the full moon shining directly on your face, but this has to be on a specific day. I believe it was a Monday or a Saturday, but I'm not sure for sure.
Just to be safe, I'll do one on a Monday and one on a Saturday.
Yeah. Okay, so then those are the rituals. Another thing you can do is just ask Satan, although this might also require an ointment. Turning into a werewolf is a very ointment-forward process.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. And I don't know if maybe you need to do that so that your body's ready to change.
Yeah, yeah, make it all, like, pliable.
Yeah. You know what? Making too much sense. Like, a little too much. Ding dong. Hi, devil. Neighbor here. Can you borrow some of your werewolf ointment, please? Thank you.
So there are also times, though, when you might get turned into a werewolf and you don't want, when you're not trying to be a werewolf. So this can happen if a magician or a witch curses you. God can also curse you. So you better watch out after that last conversation.
Oh, no!
Furthermore, apparently getting excommunicated from the Catholic Church might be enough in and of itself to werewolfize you.
Wait a minute. Freemasons were also excommunicated. And all that kind of stopped around Freemason times.
It did.
Am I making a connection here?
Yes.
Am I doing this? Is this happening?
It's happening. Of course, you can also get bitten by a werewolf.
Of course. And
then if you live in Transdanubia, you can pass three times through a birch arch. Or
what if you don't live there? What if you're just visiting?
No, you've got to live there. You've got to, I think you have to have actually been born there. Or you can be born with a full head of hair or a birthmark on your head or a hairnet on your head. So if you're born with a hairnet on your head in Transdanubia, you will be a werewolf. Sorry.
Hang on. A hairnet. Yeah. I'm trying to think how that would work. But I'm assuming we're talking about something else.
No, it was like a hat. If you're born with a hat on your head.
If you're born with a hat on your head, you have a few more problems than just being a potential werewolf.
I don't know. I feel like being a werewolf would be the worst of those problems. I want to come up with a rhyme. If you were born with a hat on your head,
your
teeth will soon be werewolf red.
I'm in love with that. You're a poet. I'm going to get that as my next tattoo.
Oh, you and everybody else.
Yeah. Then at the bottom, it'll say, ooh.
Well, the tattoo artists are going to be like, oh, no, they're werewolves. Yeah.
When to go to hell with that stupid cliched tattoo.
All right. So I'm going to go conclude. So I figured I would end this segment with suggestions on how to stop being a werewolf just in case you were recently bitten by your baby cousin Jordy or got excommunicated. There is a caveat, though, with many of these treatments. When they were tried in the past, people did end up dying.
Okay. So it's like the injecting bleach.
Yes.
Maybe take this with a grain of salt.
Right. Approach these the way that you would approach hydroxychloroquine.
Okay.
So one thing that you can do if you are a werewolf and you no longer wish to be a werewolf, exhaust yourself. Hop on that treadmill, or better yet, join a CrossFit gym where you'll fit right in. And just work out until you drop.
Next.
Eat a bunch of wolfsbane.
Oh.
Okay. In all seriousness, wolfsbane is very toxic and you should not eat this.
Okay. I won't. Let me write that down.
Okay. You can also have someone strike you on the forehead with a knife and or pierce your hands with nails. In all seriousness, being struck on the forehead with a knife is very toxic and you should not do this.
The nails, though. We're letting that one slide.
You can also...
Okay. The lag. Didn't mean to throw you off.
You can also order up an exorcism.
Oh, on demand.
On demand. Or convert to Christianity. If you're already Christian and a werewolf, so if you're a Christian werewolf, you can just be addressed by your Christian name three times.
Well, okay. Hang on. So some people chose to stab themselves in the head or run a lot when all they could do is just be like, hey, what's my name? No, what's my name?
Three times, though. Again. Like, maybe some people are like, again? Like, no, I'm not going to do this again.
Wait, no, I thought you said it wrong. Can you say it one more time?
But what if their Christian name is Bloody Mary? What if their Christian name was Candyman? No, I'm not going to say your Christian name three times. I'm allergic to bees.
I'm so sorry, Candyman and Bloody Mary, if you turn into a werewolf.
I know, you're fucked. Although, to be fair, I think Candyman, you only have to say his name five times. So he might get away from this.
Oh, okay. So you just do three times and be like, stop it there.
So, okay. So, apparently also, if someone just scolds you, like, it's like, bad werewolf.
But then we've solved the Bloody Mary Candyman problem. Guys, don't eat the poison. Don't stab your head. Put away your devil belt. I cannot stress this enough.
So actually, Stacey, will you do a favor for any of our listeners who are werewolves and trying to get out of being a werewolf? Will you just give them a scolding?
Hey, no, bad werewolf, bad, no, put the kid down, no, bad werewolf. Okay, I cured?
Yeah, I think it worked.
And then just in case... Jeremy. I've saved all Jeremys who are werewolves.
That's nice of you. So the last one only works if you were cursed. So this cannot work if you were bitten by a werewolf or like any of these other ways, like if you walked through that birch arch three times. So if you were cursed, remove your werewolf skin and then burn it. And then you'll be released from the curse.
Once again, I have some questions. Actually, you know what? I don't want to know the answers to these questions. I'll accept that and move on.
Okay. I will say there was, I forget where it was. I feel like it was a Middle Ages type thing, but the werewolves would like get together and hang out, and they would take off their skin and hang it up and like party skinless skinless werewolves, and then put their skin back on and then go. But so then it was like, if you're at this werewolf party and you've taken your skin off and you're like, hey, you know what, I'm actually done being a werewolf, just burn your skin. Done.
But then what if the other werewolves get mad at you? I think maybe you shouldn't do that at the party.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, don't burn skin at parties.
So, seeing as how werewolves have been around for at least 4,000 years and that they represent the darkest aspects of our humanity, it makes sense that our understanding of them would be as varied and nebulous as our understanding of ourselves. After all, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death, taxes, and werewolves.
I'm not sleeping tonight. I can tell you that right now. There's too many things on my mind about shape-shifting into creepy creatures.
Well, the Wendigo, I would say, is 1,000 times scarier than the werewolf.
I would say so, too. Because, you know, I have a soft spot for werewolves, obviously.
Yeah.
So I was also a little bit scared. But to be fair, the werewolf in Harry Potter looks more like a Wendigo to me than it does.
Right.
A werewolf.
Like, definitely, like, upright, skinny legs, real taut skin.
Emaciated. And But honestly, I mean, both of these, they're creepy, and they, like, really show our anxieties and what we want to blame things on. And how the legend of the werewolf just goes through so many different iterations, and it's something that we just know of offhand. It's, like, second nature. But then, like, mm-hmm. the Wendigo is, I mean, it's also pretty old of a story, but it's just like, I don't know. That one was like, it's really scary. It's really hard for me to like compare the two because I'm like, oh, Wendigo is way scarier. But, I mean, like there's similarities, yes, but like not even close.
There's a psychological factor to the Wendigo that I think makes it worse. Like, it's the whole, the trickery, the deception part of it. The werewolf is like, it's a scary beast that could rip you apart, but you see him. But the Wendigo mm-hmm. is just, like, it doesn't make sense to eat your own leg. Like, that doesn't make sense. Although, a lot of the medieval paintings of werewolves, the werewolf is sneaking up on something and it's biting its own leg because it made a sound. And so it itself made a sound, so it bit its own leg. And that's in medieval paintings. And I don't know a lot about it, but, like, when you were talking about the Wendigo, and I was like, werewolves also bite their own legs. And, you know, we blame cannibalism on, like, the werewolf factor. Same as, like, with the Wendigo. Like,
with the Wendigo, yeah.
So it's like we don't want to believe that a human could do this. And so, therefore, this must be a werewolf or this must be a Wendigo.
Yeah, that's how a lot of these stories and legends and everything come up. But it's just, like, the imagination that people have to think of something like these. I mean, it's so interesting to see where all of this comes into play based on history and what's going on at the time. But ultimately, we know that this is all 100% real.
And 100% fake believe. Hi, I'm really sorry for saying yeet again. Also, I'm really sorry for making this pun again, but it's time to Wendigo and rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts.